here's the thing. This is actually not my reflection of this movie. We're getting into my thoughts about this movie very soon.
Oh, I know what you're going to talk about. Okay.
But I'm so, so exhausted by sequels and remakes and prequels. And I'm like, and the constant, like, just recycling of, and I know it's always been there. I know it has always been there in Hollywood, but it feels like an onslaught. Like right now, like there's a huge push for Gladiator 2, and just the title Gladiator 2 makes me sad inside.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's I don't mind sequels. I don't mind sequels, but obviously, but what is starting to bother me is these like hella late stage sequels. That's just like, that does just feel like how much can we squeeze out of this?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's always, sequels always have that vibe of how much can we squeeze out of this?
You know what it is, though? It is, and maybe this is a personal thing. I think it is connected to this idea that I feel like Hollywood, like, doesn't want to. I mean, I know there are a few new stars and they're all white, but I mean, they're all white. They're all white. But
yeah,
I just feel like it's like this thing of like, we'll just take whatever, like whatever, Bill and Ted. Yeah. Let's just do that again. And it's like, what, why?
Right,
like,
yeah,
we'll just take these older guys and just keep putting them in things. And like, and you'll be happy. Right. Cause like, you remember.
Those first two are great.
What, Bill and Ted? I know when they did the third one, I was like, what, why did y'all make this movie? I will say the hard part, though, is I feel you, Bray, and it's interesting because some of these movies bomb, but then you'll see a movie like Bad Boys.
Yeah, Bad Boys doing pretty good. Yeah.
It did better than the original Bad Boys and the sequel to Bad Boys. And you're like, well, how does this work? And I will say this. Gladiator was the first DVD I ever bought. And this new Gladiator trailer, Bray, I feel you. Gladiator 2 looks crazy. But Denzel, Pedro, I'm sorry. It should look good. It looks so good.
I didn't see the first Gladiator. I know it was huge, and I know that it like
Ooh, James,
won. Yeah, I never saw.
Yeah, gotta
I
go,
never
gotta
saw
go
it.
See
but
that.
I saw the trailer for this, and I was like, "This, they doing this? they fighting rhinos and shit?" Like, I was like, "This, what's going?" Like, I was like, "Okay, all right, I'm a." But it just feels late to me.
Would they make a Saving Private Ryan 2? You know what I mean? Like, that's what it feels like to me. You know, it's just like,
no, yeah, it does. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm like Gladiator 2. Yeah. Like, this is the best picture. Like,
yeah,
it's an Oscar winner. Whatever, it's fine.
No, what you're saying is right, though. It is true.
I am okay. I am typically okay with if there is more to the story that you feel like you can tell,
there is no more to Gladiator.
Frame of reference on this. Yeah, no, exactly. But
they're telling a different story. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's when I'm on board.
Well, right. I think this one, they kept saying they were trying to do a sequel, and it looks like the route they're taking as of the quick story beast from the trailer, like, okay, this makes sense. But also, I think Bray is right. Like, Gladiator is a movie that when it came out, it was a risk because it was a sword and sandals movie, which they were like, these movies don't make money anymore. It came out, did great. And I'm like, no one takes those risks. What even, like, you know,
it's fun. It's like, it's almost as if they're like, guys, like, we don't even necessarily care that it's a sequel. But we need the sequel to justify us spending money for this movie. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it's like, like Twisters is coming out, and it's like, is it really a sequel? Like, I mean, I know it will be in some sense, but it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, you're just making another Twister movie. But
no, they're seemingly not only making another Twister, they're seemingly doing the same plot that they did for the first one, but just now with all these new people, like, they're like, this is the team that does it like this, and this is the team that does it like, you know,
the
they're
wild
like
cowboy team,
seemingly the same thing.
That is the first movie was the same thing. No, it's true. It's okay. I do also want them to get better at at naming. Like Gladiator 2 to me feels so lazy, you know. And yet at the same time, is it any better than Beverly Hills Cop Axel F?
That was pretty good. I was here for it. Honestly.
Was it?
I mean, it makes sense.
Was it better, James? Yeah, was it better, James? Thank you.
Okay. No, I'm talking about... All right.
James? Huh? James?
You know that I'm not responding to the thing that you said, but more responding to the
I was just asking a question. I'm just asking, you know, is Gladiator 2 a better title than Beverly Hills Cop : Axel F?
If this was called Axel Foley or just Axel or just Foley,
I would have loved it. I agree with this. It's like they were like, we got to have it. We got to have it in the title. And it's like, why? Everybody knows it's the Beverly Hills Cop sequel. And they're like, we need the recognition of the title.
It makes no sense as AF.
Just call it Axel Foley. What? And why is it Axel F?
So they could say Beverly Hills Cop AF.
Like, oh my God. Is that really what they did in the movie?
At one point when it first came out, I remember the title was Axel Foley AF.
My God.
Yeah. Which is Black AF. Wait. Isn't Kenya a part of this?
I refuse to believe that's what it is. So I'm going to spend the rest of my life refusing to believe that.
Like I said.
Let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock, James the Third, Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is. Black men can jump.
All right.
That was my favorite part.
The remix that they did on this was pretty good.
It's a good score. Yeah. It's I like it. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Saunders. S-A-U-N. That's the bit I liked. I just can't remember exactly how he said it.
Oh my gosh, the way the bit.
I tried to find it before we jumped on and I couldn't find it.
My favorite line was, he was like, you can't say that. Even with that accent, you sound racist.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it was a couple. Eddie was trying in this one.
There were some good ones.
Eddie was moving.
There were some moments.
There were some. I had a few like real hardcore, genuine laughs that like, you know, like when you laugh and you're like, oh, wow, that was so natural. Like I just instinctively laughed.
Yeah, my dad was on the Negro Hockey League. We were the Winnipeg Black guys.
That shit was so funny. Really, I'm so sorry. I should do better. I need to be better. Like, what a good bit, man.
For those of you who are listening for the first time, welcome. We've been doing this podcast for, in essence, our first ever episode was Beverly Hills Cop. Yeah. And I forgot when we did Beverly Hills Cop 2. Did we have 100 episodes at that time? Or something?
Oh my God, yeah,
something
really? Like that.
Jeez.
And then we never did Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Yeah, we never did Beverly Hills Cop 3.
We did the right thing.
I begged us to do Beverly Hills Cop 3 on multiple occasions. Anytime a milestone episode came up, I was like, we should do Beverly Hills Cop 3. And just no interest in rewatching Beverly Hills Cop 3. Wonder World, baby. Wonder World. All right.
Wait, I need to remember. I just remember him dressing up in the costume and then like climbing a Ferris wheel or something. Or like, didn't he like save somebody who was stuck on a Ferris wheel or something crazy? Yeah, I don't know.
Yes, he did.
Yep. He talks about that movie a lot. He's like, they threw so much money at him, he couldn't say no. Because he didn't want to do it. They just were like, here's the trucks trucks of money just pulling up to your house. And he's like, all right, well, you know.
Well, we've been doing this for about 9 years now. And over 300 episodes. Are we at 400 yet?
God, don't even.
Who knows?
Don't guys, I don't know if we're at 400, but we're definitely well past 300.
The voice that you're listening to right now sounds like a tired father who...
Wait,
you know,
hold on a second.
Yeah, yeah, I'm tired. I'm a tired.
This
father.
Is appropriation.
Wait, hold on.
Oh, I got two. I got two dogs. Wait. Hey, this is Beverly. This is Beverly Hills. Okay, Beverly Hills. Yeah, your dog, Beverly Hills dogs can, count as yeah, children.
There's a lot of dogs. There's true. A lot of dog parents out here.
That is very true. Actually,
this is Jonathan Braylock.
This voice that is half sleep. Is that what is going on? No, I'm like, no, I want to be the cool Axel. Hold on, wait. Oh no, what's the disgruntled white boy? What's Joseph Gordon-Levitt's name? I'm Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I got the, yeah, I've been working. No one Abbott. Respects me. This is Gerard Milligan. Abbott, that's his name. Abbott. Mm-hmm.
And this guy who sounds like he might be back. Like he might be back. That's James III.
Oh, wow. I like okay, that. That's exciting. Of course, we are reviewing you know what I mean? Beverly Hills Cop.
Hey, listen, baby, I'll take that.
Beverly Hills Cop 4, aka Beverly Hills Cop Axel F, aka Beverly Hills Cop AF.
Bro.
This film was released on Netflix on July the 4th, or July the 3rd, technically, but you know, July 4th weekend or it's number one, obviously, on Netflix. Apparently 41 million views.
Oh, pretty good.
That sounds pretty freaking good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're releasing that stuff now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they are. This is worldwide, too.
I got to know one thing, okay?
Yep.
All right. So the brothers, are they brothers? Yeah, the brothers who directed Bad Boys and Batwoman was supposed to direct the movie. Mark, was it Malloy? Directed this film, and I'm looking at his IMDb, and this man did.
Don't look at it.
Sketches.
Don't look at it. No,
like he did, and this is no diss to him, but he got three. Not even a lot of sketches. He got two Apple sketches, and Beverly Hills Cop.
Sketches.
Bray.
You sound like
Bray.
Like sketches. Maybe Gerard got it wrong.
Sketches. And I'm like,
wow.
And I'm like,
because you said Gerard Apple, and then I was like, did you mean commercial? No, you meant a sketch.
Yeah, two sketches, and then he got Beverly Hills Cop AF.
How did this happen?
I don't know, but I truly, when Wait, I don't, a what? Couple weeks back,
how is this possible?
We were talking about this, and producer Skyler told me that information, and I have been baffled ever since. I support everybody. I want everybody to soar. I want everybody to shine. But I just for one second need to say, what the fuck is what? One of the greatest IPs, one of the greatest IPs of all time went to essentially a random dude who did a couple things, a couple short form things. I don't understand. And if anyone out there hearing my rambles knows why,
did
please tell me why.
I don't know. Wait,
he must have. No, he didn't write. No, he didn't write it. He didn't write it. What? Look, wait, hold on. This IMDb has to be leaving stuff out.
Dog, I'm on his wiki. His wiki don't have.
Yeah, exactly. This must be bro. Like there must be more. Like my man must bro, have done I'm, a feat. There must be a feature that he did.
I'm on
that he did that everybody
I'm
saw.
On his wiki, man.
I just can't. I actually refuse to believe this.
Yo,
I exist. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's no. There has. Famous-
I've been. My mind has been perplexed for weeks now.
I mean,
perplexed.
I don't see a short film that was big.
Oh, by the way, we've
and
done
like,
over
it being the brothers that did Bad Boys 3. That makes sense because that was a huge.
And also,
hit.
They came.
Would you know why it went away from
oh,
them?
They went to go do. Know, they do went to go do Batwoman. Batgirl.
Oh, they left to go do Batgirl.
Also, they
The movie that got shelved.
Yeah, sucks for them.
Also, they came from making a crazy feature that people loved. Like, they, I don't know how they funded it, but they made a feature and that put them on the map.
This guy had to, this can't be right.
Yo.
This can't be right.
Check, look, I please, people at home, I'm looking at IMDb, I'm looking at his wiki.
All right, I'm ignoring this because this is going to ruin my day. This should be a joke.
It's already been ruined my last few weeks, so I'm glad that y'all know this now and are upset too.
Beverly Hills Cop.
It is infuriating. It is infuriating. Is he black?
Come on, James.
I'm asking that, assuming that he's not.
Come on,
I'm asking that, assuming that he's not. But is he black? No, we just got to bring this into the the podcast too, because this is what the podcast is about. And if I think about this for more than 2 seconds, it's fucking infuriating.
What?
I want everybody to shine.
Seems like he's Australian.
I want to get the little piece of the pie. I'm happy for him.
He's not even American.
But what are we talking about? What are we doing? What has any of this been?
Do you know how
many black directors have done more than 6 sketches?
Guys, let's just talk about this movie. Oh my God.
This is his first time feature.
This is why I was sleeping the day away. This right here. Shit like this is why I was sleeping the day away.
This is why.
Away.
Like, this is why I was sleeping.
Oh my gosh. This is why I was sleeping. This is crazy.
Was Matthew Cherry busy? That's what I'm just trying to figure out who was busy. Who couldn't they get?
Nobody was busy. No. No one was busy.
Nope.
Who else? Who are the black people? Come on, help me out. Was Nia DaCosta was she tied up with Marvel?
Where's Oz Rodriguez? There's so many people, bro.
Where was Oz Rodriguez? Where was Oz at? He right there doing the SNL stuff. You just go ask him, hey man, on your hiatus, can we just do this real quick?
Comes from comedy. All right.
Jerry Bruckheimer just called him up.
Bro.
Oh, right.
Jerry Bruckheimer called him up and said, I want to make a movie together. I love what you do. I want to make a movie together.
Yeah, he gave him Beverly Hills.
And the movie happens to be one of the most beloved franchises.
Let's move past this. Let's move past this.
I don't know if we can.
Guys, this film stars the great Eddie Murphy. Okay?
It does.
Eddie has been back.
No, it's about like in the movie.
No, but
you mean the character.
There's an energy that he has
in this.
That is very akin to an old school Eddie that I haven't seen on film since Tower Heist.
He was trying. Tower Heist was trying for sure.
He was like, my man was like, I'm going to raise my voice.
You didn't think he was trying in You People?
You People was so bad. He didn't have a chance. I thought he was trying in that. Yeah, because he was like so subdued in You People. But you
felt like he wasn't trying in Coming to America?
Oh, I don't even remember.
I thought in Coming to America, specifically his version of Akeem, his grown up version of Akeem was not quite having the same energy. Obviously, he's older now, but like he didn't quite have it there. And then
but
in some of his
older
other characters,
now.
He felt fun in this to me. Like he legit felt like he was having fun. He was moving around. He was like, he felt fun.
Listen, man, I think this man was having fun in Candy Cane Lane. I don't know what y'all talking about. Now,
oh my goodness.
I don't know what movies you were watching.
I'm just saying, my man, he's been back since Dolomite Is My Name.
Wait, Dolomite
He might be back. Oh, he was good in Dolomite, but there were a couple moments in Dolomite where I was like, I kind of wish he had a little bit more in it.
All right. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. We already talked about Dolomite. I've already said this.
We've been reviewing yes. Eddie movies for quite some time now.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So it also, he's been back. Okay. Obviously, it stars Eddie Murphy, Taylor Page, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and then, you know, coming back, Judge Reinhold, John Ashton, who plays Taggart and Rosewood, and Paul Reiser, was he in the other movies?
Yep.
Yes.
He's in every last one of them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yeah.
What else do we need to say? That's it. It has a 66% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is fresh. 66 critics, 80% audience score. And I will say, those ratings sound right to me.
Mm-hmm.
Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin.
Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period.
Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck.
Now, if you're a little bit like me, sometimes you need extra cash for, I don't know, let's say a last minute gift, because I procrastinate all the time when it comes mm-hmm. to birthday gifts or like Mother's Day or mm-hmm. Father's Day. I mean, you know, these holidays be popping up.
They do.
You know, maybe you need some new shoes because you play basketball and then you're like, oh no, like I got a hole in my shoe. I got to get some new shoes. Boom, bada bing, bada bing.
Yeah. Or you might need to pay rent and you're like, hey, this rent is due on the first and Earnin is here to help, baby. You know,
download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump under podcast. When you sign up, it'll really help the show. Jump under podcast.
Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max pay period, max and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Great. Shall we start? Who wants to start? Initial thoughts. Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F.
I'll go. I enjoyed this movie a lot. It's funny because I saw the reviews were good, but then some of my friends who watched it, like, you know, friend of the podcast, Sean Tane, was like, this movie, before I even got a chance to watch it, he was like, man, this new Beverly Hills Cop sucks. And I was like, ah, well, I got to watch it soon. And he was just like crapping on it before I saw it. I liked it. I thought Eddie was, yeah, I agree with James. I think Eddie had energy. To me, it was the first time I'm hearing his voice go up. I have been listening to a lot of Eddie interviews, and I don't know. I think Eddie, to be a comedian, was more sensitive than I thought. Like, like when he talks about why he doesn't do the laugh anymore, and, you know, when people hurt his feelings, I was like, oh man, he's been affected by the things people have said about him in a way where I'm like, oh yeah, he doesn't do the laugh in this movie because he forced himself to stop laughing like that, which is such a sad thing to have, like, that's such a sad thing to have to do. But I liked it. I thought Joseph Gordon-Levitt honestly fit into the world. He felt like Judge Reinhold in the original to me. He felt like, you know, the cop who wanted to do good, the one who was also like, ah, kind of sheepish, but by the end of it, you know, came around. My only thing is Eddie did not kill the big bad. I thought they could. I thought like when Eddie went down, I thought he could have sneakily like put the gun up or like shot while he was falling. But he did not kill the big bat. He
keep staying true to the original.
Yep, literally out of nowhere, Joseph Gordon-Levitt comes in with a kill shot. And I was like, Eddie could have took that shot while falling, while getting shot. He could have took that shot. That's all. But other than that, it was fun. Some of the father-daughter stuff felt so forced to me a little bit, and I can't tell whether that was just the writing or just, I don't know. You needed an emotional arc. I get it, but anyway, I liked it.
Interesting. I could go. I also liked it. To me, like, the comedy went in and out. Like, sometimes it felt good. Sometimes it felt a little forced. I definitely hear what you're saying, but I don't know. I guess I feel like overall, I was like, yeah, this father-daughter stuff makes sense. It's like a thing that tie stuff together. They played it very grounded, I thought.
Yeah, for sure.
There was some fun, like the therapy stuff, like, was real, like what she was like, if you had been going to therapy, you'd know like the child is always the child and the parent's always the parent and like that kind of thing. I was like, oh, that was a good line. And yeah, and like some of the action was fun. There was definitely like this movie definitely had its moments. It was definitely fun. It was like, I think in the beginning I was like a little bit like, but then like, I think it picked up and once it got going, it was cool. I will say, I mean, they do like some like very like classic sequel, especially like 30-year sequel stuff, you know, where it's just like you have these like have people who like don't look great and they're like making fun of each other for not looking good, but at the same time you're also like, but I don't know, I don't like, you're in shootouts where I don't believe any of these people, like some of these people I'm just like, you know, like Taggart, I'm like, this dude is not gonna be in a shootout, I'm sorry, but whatever, it's fine. It's fine. I will say this, I think I'm a pretty big Joseph Gordon-Levitt fan. Like, I think I like him in most of the things that he does. Like, I think he's a great actor. I don't know if I loved him in this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I like, there was a part of me that was like, oh, is this an interesting character that he's playing? And then there was another part of me that was like, or is he just tired and not really doing anything? I don't know. I was like, maybe it was a choice to have him be like so low key, but there was a part, there was sometimes where I was just like, I don't know. I didn't find him like as charming as I think he usually is.
I agree with that.
I didn't quite even understand like why the, I don't know. He felt like a guy, like just a guy, which is fine, I guess. But I don't know, in a movie like this where it feels like it's a bigger deal, I kind of like, maybe I've been watching too many 90s movies. I've been rewatching a lot of 90s movies recently. And I was like, I don't know, I want you to be a bigger presence than this. Like, this is a blockbuster. Mm-hmm. Like, give me a something. Yeah. Don't just give me like, I'm just a real person grounded performance. I'm like, but this is Beverly Hills Cop. Like, give me something else. I don't know. Yeah. But, you know, it was good. It was good. It was fun.
It's not like you're trying to convince yourself that it was good.
Right. It was good. I had a good time.
It wasn't a good time.
I mean, I thought about that thing. It wasn't that bad, but
it was good. It's good.
I was saying to the guys off mic, my direct memory of the movie is a little hazy at the start of this podcast. I was able to rewatch some of it before now. I do remember really liking it. And I was texting my friend throughout. So I have my text messages in front of me. I remember really liking it. And I remember specifically feeling like, for the most part, it felt like a Beverly Hills Cop sequel, as opposed to like, we're just redoing all of the beats of past sure. movies. It starts to feel that way in some of the later stuff. Like when they go to the strip club and it's just like, we're at the strip club. I'm like, well, we didn't have to go here, you know, like, we don't, just because he's there all
that
the
was
time.
A strip club. I thought that was like a coffee. I was like, I ain't see no stripping. Were they, was it? A, for, was it?
There's a, yeah, no, there's a point where they go to, or at least that was my memory. Did they not go to a strip club? Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I know they go somewhere. I didn't know it was, no, they went somewhere. I just didn't realize that was supposed to be the strip club.
Well, later he has the joke where he's like, I'm not taking him to the strip club. He's had intercourse with my daughter. But I thought he actually did take her to the place right. that I'm thinking of as the strip club. So maybe.
I think you're right.
But it, so, you know, and then like, just like, now we're in a big house. We're in a big mansion at the end. You know, that was just like, are we just doing this because that's what you did before, you know? But like, there were, you know, that opening sequence and like the riding the bulldozer or whatever, like it had the energy of the like cigarettes without being like, without it literally being like, here he is doing a con, and then now he's doing a bit, you know, like one and two have the same kind of like, it's a con that goes wrong that leads into a chase sequence rather than just like a chase sequence, which we're going to see in an action movie. You know what I mean? So like in the beginning, I was kind of feeling like, okay, this kind of feels like maybe we're just doing another sequel, which I thought was nice. I've already said this. I liked Eddie's energy a lot. The father-daughter stuff, I felt like I connected with. My sequel brain wanted it to be like, that's the, you know, the mother was the character from Beverly Hills Cop 3, like just to like make it a part of the world a little bit more. But like instead they just, there's just a nameless woman who was her mother, which I guess is fine, but I don't know, like continue to build our world, you know, if we're going to be doing this stuff.
Yeah, that's fair.
And what else? Was there anything else? Yeah. And I mean, I had fun. I thought the action was fun. The helicopter sequence felt like an OG action sequence that like we don't quite have, like just someone not being able to fly a helicopter. It's like, oh, this is very,
he never got, you know, good
but
at
like it.
It
worked. I was there for, you know, and then like seeing them all together at the end in the car was like, I don't know. It was like a nice little tag that like harkened to call back to the original, but like while working within the scenario that they set up.
Yeah, a lot of fun. I mean, yeah, man. I guess we just start from the beginning. I will say the thing about this movie, I think that did very well. And okay, did it do it well? All right, so I'm gonna just say it. This is one of those movies that I liked it because it felt the closest to 1 and 2 by how it was set up. Now I don't know if that's playing off of like nostalgia for me, but
for sure
the fact that like it opens immediately with Eddie driving around Detroit, we get to see Detroit, how people like him, we get to see Eddie like literally be funny within the first 5 minutes of this movie with another young white partner, and he gets to be a good cop. Like I tell you all the time, people keep forgetting that like Beverly Hills Cop, like Axel is a good cop. He's just funny. You know what I mean? And we got to see him do that, which, you know, the first one did that when he was undercover. The second one did that when he was undercover. And the third one, I don't remember how the third one started, but I don't think the third one did it. But it was cool to see this one start that way. Also, honestly, see Eddie move a little bit. Like Eddie is older than Martin and Will Smith, and he was moving, baby. Like, oh, you know, he's out here fighting folks. Like, you saw him running in wide shots to show that it was him. So I was like, it was a scene in this movie. And it's a scene when he gets to Beverly Hills where it is a wide shot and is Eddie Murphy running. And I was like, you know what, brother, go right ahead. Yeah, I don't know. And then this set piece felt like an old school one with the dump truck. Like this felt like an old 80s.
Yeah, the dump truck.
The dump truck scene.
It just felt like, he would be doing something like this. You know, like it just felt like when something happened, even though it's like moments in the other movies, it's like, no, but he would just do this. He would steal a dump truck. He would make a man get out of his dump truck and drive it around and cause all kinds of damage. Like, so yeah, I was here for this opening. I don't buy Paul Reiser as the chief now or the captain now. I was like, how is he the captain?
Who was he before? Snitch?
How is he the captain?
He was a snitch before,
just
right?
No, just before. Before it's the vibe felt like Axel was the better. It felt like I wanted them to connect it to something like he's in this position because of Axel. Like if it wasn't for Axel, he would not be chief or captain. He wouldn't have made it this far without him. But they never do something like that. It was just like he was this lackey and always felt like he wasn't, and he was snitchy and stuff, but it always felt like he wasn't as good as Axel to me. So that was
the idea was that Axel stayed a cop because he wanted to.
I just thought we could have like it could have been brought into the scenes a little bit more.
But he said that the classic movie thing is like, yeah, man, you know, you take my badge, we get it back again. You know, you take my gun, then I get it back again. You know, it's like, you know, you put me like it just that is just that classic.
No consequences.
Yeah, no consequences. Like rogue cop trope is like, yeah, you know, you go talk to the person. Then all of a sudden he goes, oh, he wanted blood. So did you take the hit for me? I was like, all right, that's kind of cool. But he was still the chief the entire movie, so it kind of didn't work for me. I was like, anytime he needed him, he was still there in the office.
It was a slow fade out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess everything happened really quick. And then, oh, but I do think this part was kind of cool. First off, I hope this, black women, please forgive me. Please forgive me, but I got to say this. I couldn't let it go.
What are you saying?
You don't say how good she is. She looks.
So this is my thing. This woman, I think, is a fantastic actress. Taylor Page, I think she's like fantastic. I do think she is gorgeous. But for some reason in this movie, I kept thinking, I don't know if they got black stylists on this movie. That's all I, every time she appeared, I was I'm not sure they had black hairstylists on this movie for her. And I hate to say it, but she is beautiful. I just was so distracted by it. But also, she's an attorney, so probably she doesn't have time. But also, she was an attorney with like fancy suits and in a Corvette, like in a convertible.
Her hair was like always just back, right?
Yeah, but I felt like they almost were trying to make her like dress down, but the outfits were fire, and then like the car was like a convertible.
Oh, so you meant her? Okay,
got it. So it just felt like I couldn't, because sometimes when I see
you wanted her clothing to look a little better than
was this. I felt like she was dressing a way that they didn't do her makeup and her hair. Not saying she had to be like model S the entire time, because I get that, but I'm like, if you're saying this woman ain't got time for that, then her outfits and her car wouldn't be like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking too much into it. I just couldn't let it go because I was like, this black woman is gorgeous. They got this girl with this. I don't know. Okay, I'm thinking too much. It just distracted me. I couldn't let it go. Anyway. When she almost gets run off the thing, that was a pretty good moment, though.
That was crazy.
When they dropped her from the
yes. Like, yeah. Yo, that was so like, fun. This is gnarly.
This also felt like it was practical. Like, it was happening, right? Like, there was really a car that was being done. You know what I mean? Like, this was another thing I think about the movie that made it harken back to old school action movies like this, because it felt like we were really seeing a person in a car get knocked over the edge. Whereas like in, you know, if this were like an Avengers or something, it would like almost immediately feel like we were looking at a CGI car dangling over you know what I mean? Like it really felt like we were like in it and it was like happening. I thought that was cool.
That's real. Because it did feel, I don't know if you guys see Netflix released an 80s trailer for this movie with like the voiceover, like, oh, he was once a cop. And, you know, like, yeah, they released like a dope trailer. And I was like, oh, this movie has that vibe, which I think, well, honestly, when I think about why the reviews for this movie have been good. And when I think about Bad Boys, both of those movies, outside of the camera angles they used in Bad Boys, they feel old school. Like they feel like people in the shit, you know what I mean? Like there was a stunt person probably dangling in that car for real. You know what I mean? Like you need that kind of realism to make it feel like grounded, you know? And then Eddie gets the phone call and he comes to Beverly Hills, baby. Also, the update of him driving through Beverly Hills was even better because you saw like a fake Tekashi walking down the street, like a rapper. You saw a bunch of influencers like dancing and taking photos and like doing their little wardrobes. I was like, you know what?
Yes.
I live near Beverly Hills. That's exactly what it looks like.
This is reminding me of another thing I wanted to say about how this movie chose to do callbacks and stuff. So it was feeling to me more like we're just looking at a sequel rather than we're just copying what we saw before. But then for whatever reason, they only used needle drops from the first movie. So like it was like all of the songs that were being played were the same songs. And it was like, just play new. And then after a certain point, I was like, all right, well then I guess when they get to Beverly Hills, we better hear Stir It Up. but then they were like, now we're in Beverly Hills. We'll play. I think it was a modern song at the Beverly Hills, entrance. And it was like, okay, all right, well then what are we doing? You know, like this can all be updated, you know? But anyway, but yeah, the traveling around Beverly Hills and seeing him react to Beverly Hills, I love it. I love it every time.
Honestly, it was super fun. It was super fun when he did it. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about this. And then, yeah, once he gets there, what does he do? I know he gets arrested first, but how?
Well, that's eventually. The first thing he does is, was that the first thing he does? Is go to the office?
Right, because he calls and he's like, you're supposed to pick me up.
Rosewood's office.
And he's going because of his daughter, not because of what happened to Rosewood.
Does
the thing that happened to Rosewood happen at the same time?
Literally after Rosewood gets off the phone with him, he gets captured.
Yeah.
He gets to take. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he goes to his house. That's right. He goes to his house because he's supposed to pick him up. And when he gets there, people are in there. And then, you know, he does this Eddie Murphy thing and someone looks at a photo like, this is you.
And he's like, no, that's Wesley Snipes. People always say we look alike. And then the guy comes in. He's like, who's this guy? Yeah. And then we get our little fight scene, our action sequence here.
And this is when you see him run again. Like you see him in the wide running down them goddamn steps.
I did appreciate this scene with the meter maid.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny when he was like, meter lady. And she's like, lady, which I don't even understand why she got offended by that. But it was so funny. It was so funny. And she was like, you ain't taking this. And then when he takes it, he starts driving away. And then he looks up and she's just hanging on. I legit laughed at that because I was like, that's funny. Like, he thinks he's away.
The angle of her.
It was the angle, yo. Because they didn't show her. They didn't show that side at first. So you see him and it cuts and she's just
staring at him.
Holding spraying on for more dear pepper life. Spray
and the whole time he's like, that's too much. Like, that's too much pepper spray. Like, before he drove off, she was like, that's too much pepper spray. And then she just kept going. I'm like, yo.
Oh, man.
Yo, that's funny. Pepper spray that at close range on top of that.
Yeah, I mean,
he was
completely blinded. Yeah, that was funny. Then he gets brought to the precinct. He's there with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's like, no, I am charging you.
Yeah, with two accounts. Have you seen your case? Your case file? Oh, but he also, fun fact, one of the cops that arrested him was his daughter.
Right, and her boyfriend.
And what?
Boyfriend? Partner?
The partner.
There are two women, weren't
there? Yeah, somebody, I saw something that said that, like, let me look it up. I saw some post that was like,
so I definitely know that was his daughter. And then she comes back at the end like,
I was wondering, what, that makes so much sense. Cause I was like, why'd they bring this person back?
Yeah. It was weird when they came back at the end and I was like, all right, well,
and they were like, we're helping you out. I'm like, why? You didn't develop any.
Is it two women in the first scene or just his two daughter, women in the second?
Bria
scene?
L. Murphy.
It's two women, both.
The first scene, yeah. It's Bria L. Murphy and then Giovanni Cruz. Yeah, Giovanni Cruz is the other woman who's in the scene.
Oh, okay.
It's their team, those two.
I thought I read boyfriend, but I could have read partner.
What's that laugh? Why the dastardly laugh?
It's not dastardly. It's just, it's I'm never going to find it.
Dastardly laugh. Okay, he calls his daughter. His daughter is a lawyer. She immediately hangs up. We get this thing, and she finally comes over because he's supposed to. He talks about Rosewood. I will say, this was a weird thing. Like, I definitely had Gerard in mind. The moment you see Kevin Bacon, it is so obvious that he's going to be the bad guy.
Come on,
clearly.
Baby.
But to, I think, the movie's credit, the credit was like, we know that everybody knows that he's the bad guy, so we're not really going to hide it.
I love that. I was like, the fact that they were like, yeah, this is the bad guy. And Eddie immediately looks at his shoes. Because it's like when they're talking, Eddie looks down, looks back up. In the next scene, that man had on Gucci shoes. What cop you know got on Gucci shoes and a Rolex? And I'm like, great. He's the bad guy. We know it. Cool. Also, I think it's just like, there needs to be no mystery. It's a dirty cop. Like, that's the dirty cop.
There was no mystery, which I guess is fine. It's the only thing about this stuff, when there's no mystery, there's a part of me that's like, well, I don't really want to see you piecing things together. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta scream to it. Like, it's gotta like feel like maybe it's Joseph Gordon. It has to feel like it's any of the new cops that we meet, you know, like at some point it never feels that way.
See, but I like that it was him. I like it was him. Cause if you look at the second one, when you had, what's that woman's name? Bridget. You knew the moment, like he came, he saw, Bridget Nielsen. The moment she showed up, he was like, this woman is one of the bad guys. And like, we just,
the blonde, the tall blonde. He's like, that blonde, she's just,
the tall, Something's up with this tall blonde woman, like immediately.
But this is a dirty cop. It's like so clear, like he's just like so clearly corrupt and like no one's doing anything. Like,
but see, but this is my thing. That was my point. That was my anger with Bad Boys. I'm like, the moment Mr. Fantastic showed up, he also had on a very fancy suit. Like, he looked different. I'm like, we're not just gonna go to the rich white dude. Chris Tucker said,
I know, but that guy,
Chris, no,
that guy isn't as famous. Okay.
Chris Tucker said, always chase the rich white man. That's what he said in Rush Hour 2, baby. And he's been right ever since. Ever. And he's Mr. Fantastic, okay? I know he's not Kevin Bacon. Right. But he's Mr. Fantastic.
He's Mr. Fantastic from Mr. Fantastics ago, though.
He's probably the most likable Mr. Fantastic.
No, that's Mr. Fantastic. Ain't nobody thinking about.
Most likable.
Ain't nobody thinking about.
Did John Krasinski just catch a stray?
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
you know what happened?
Wait. Krasinski,
you know what
counts.
Happened?
He counts.
Krasinski was on screen for 5 minutes and then he literally caught a stray. Literally, that character caught a stray and
he
never
died.
Came back.
He died.
Ah, they unraveled that man, which makes no sense.
There's still a version of John Krasinski. Mr. Fantastic out there, as evidenced by all the different Wandas that are Wanda and all the different Kangs that are, you know, the Kang that we've met. So there's other Krasinskis out there.
Man, all I know is Pedro Pascal now. But anyway, but like, yeah, Sonny, I like that they said he was a bad guy immediately because they were trying to make it a mystery. And I know Kevin Bacon's in this movie. Also, Kevin Bacon said he went out and pretended. And y'all see this? Y'all read this? He went out in disguise.
No, what?
And went out as a non-famous person and hated it. He hated being normal. Like, wait, I gotta find this.
He said
Skylar,
that.
You,
I hate
Skylar,
that quote.
That's
article?
A terrible quote.
Skylar?
That's wait, a terrible quote. You never want somebody to quote you saying that.
It's like, was it Kevin Bacon?
Especially when him and Calista Flockhart, right? Him and their TikToks are so humanized. It makes them just feel like they're like just a couple, just like look at that old married couple doing little TikToks and things. Like humanizes them so much. And then he's like,
he
I hated
TikToks?
Being a poor. they every now and again will do like the trends.
Because his daughter's an actress too now. I mean, not at two, but she's a pretty well-known actor. Yeah, but this man said it sucks being
Kevin's,
a regular person.
The headline of this article is Kevin Bacon spent a day as a regular person. Quote, I was like, this sucks. out of context, that sounds so bad.
Is when you read it, it's not like it don't. And again, I get what he's saying. Like, people aren't asking him for stuff. He doesn't get free shit. Like, everything he's saying makes sense. It's just funny. It's just a funny conversation to have.
I hated being one of you plebs.
You know?
That's so funny.
His daughter is in the Smile series, the horror series.
Oh, okay.
She's the lead of those. And they also do TikToks and commercials. So
I'm excited. I hadn't seen that first one, but I saw the trailer for
the second one. Yeah.
And my goodness, I gotta see them. I can't wait. I can't wait.
I know. I'm actually. It looks good.
Oh, Smile 2. Oof.
That trailer looks crazy.
First movie was pretty good. Pretty freaky.
Okay, I never saw the first one. I just remember everyone showing up at like, what was it? Baseball games and basketball games, and they paid actors to go in the crowd and just start smiling.
Idea.
I was like, I don't like this. I don't play that game. They got to get punched all in the face. Mm-mm. Anyway, well, like what happens in them? Because it's like, you know, we have him and
there's
his
a
daughter.
Point real quick where it just falls into the formula. very shortly, like, after like me being very excited about it being just like another movie, it's immediately like, I guess he's they go to the strip club and then he's, you know, something that bothered me also from thinking about their characters is how much he and Taggart butted heads. Like, yes, that was their energy was sort of like Axel is, you know, different than them. And he comes in and he kind of is oil and water a little bit. But over time, after all of this time, like they become the it gets chipped away a little bit. The grit gets chipped away. And so like when they I can't even remember what they were butting heads about. But when like Taggart was like all up in Axel's face, like maybe you. Oh, no. When this is the Scream 2 thing, and they did it the wrong way, I think. When Eddie goes, "Are you involved in this?" to Taggart, as if Taggart would as if Taggart would be on the dirty side at all. Like, what? Like, that just wouldn't happen. Like, right. You wouldn't think it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Like, think it's him. Like, that's fine. I'll accept that. But it's not going to be. It's just not going to be Taggart. It just didn't even feel real when it happened in the moment. It just felt like reaching for drama.
But Taggart getting pissed at him felt real.
Yeah. Taggart getting pissed at him felt real. Yeah. But anyway, just wanted to talk about that.
He screamed at that man.
I mean, I get that though, but also Taggart's like the boss now, and like, but it's also that it also showed to me, especially with Taggart and Eddie's initial reaction, that everybody was ready to call his daughter a liar, even Eddie, because she even called them out on it because they were dealing with cops and no one wanted to believe a cop could be dirty. And just off break, they were like, and even she was like, you think they're right. I saw the way you looked at me. And I'm like, it sucks that we live in a world where you almost have to, we have to prove someone did something corrupt or wrongful in the police force, where it's not unheard of and almost kind of normalized. But yet that gang is so tight that you're like, nah, that's not true. And it's like, bro, why not? Like, you know?
Yeah.
I will say that whole storyline was hard for me. And I was like, I don't know. I guess it felt, I was like, why wouldn't Eddie believe this at all? Like, he doesn't know Kevin Bacon. I don't know. That was a little tough. I guess Eddie did believe it because he said crooked cops are crooked cops. But then I think it was more about the fact that he didn't like that his daughter was a defense attorney, more so than this particular case.
Yeah.
But they didn't like fully get into that. I mean, they did have like the line. Right, yeah.
Because cops don't like defense attorneys.
Yeah, because they're technically against them in court.
I just rewatched Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
And and they just have like a rivalry with, like, they just don't like them. And she obviously was doing that. She's also obviously doing it because she actually does. She does not like cops. Like, she doesn't, like, she has a thing about it.
I mean, our justice system is crazy. I remember watching The Practice, because The Practice is about their defense law firm. And they would do that all the time. They would be representing people and they'd be like, this person's guilty, but we have to represent them. And it's like, that's tough, man. I don't know, man. Yeah. That's a tough job to have.
I agree.
You know, it's like you to be the best at that job, you can't care or really try to even know if your client is guilty or innocent, because you just need to represent them as best you can. But
right.
It's like, if you think they're guilty, you're like, what am I doing? Anyway, they threw that in there. I feel like it wasn't mined very well, but it was a, you know. It was like a little thing, a little nice thing. How about Luis Guzman, man? We got to talk about.
Oh, yeah. He's in the strip club, right?
He had a great cameo. Yeah. Well, that's not a. Was that a strip club? Was
what I'm saying.
Bar? Again, you guys, my memory of this is foggy, but there's a point when they're in a strip club or something like it.
So I think it's this scene. Just a dive bar.
It's just a dive bar.
And it was just a bar. Okay.
Yeah, he was singing karaoke by himself. Like, he was just performing.
But there were
on
no
stage.
Scantily clad women anywhere, I was imagining.
No. Yeah, because I think the other thing is, it's so funny you say that, is because I was watching it and I'm like, oh, they didn't go to the strip club. And I was like, oh, is this movie? I'm like, oh, is this movie like so woke? They're like, we can't do strip clubs no more. And I was like, is that what happened? Because they go in every movie.
And then they had a line. They had a line about it.
Yeah. The joke later, I guess. Makes it make sense. Like, that's, you know, because I don't think you can go to a strip, like, right? You can go to a strip club's not,
I thought,
not
so.
Woke, right?
Yeah. Listen, what do you mean? Like, we just had the movie Hustler. Hustlers didn't come out that long ago.
Listen, I agree. Listen,
and we want the we want the strippers to strike, and we want them to have.
Man, I gotta see Hustlers again.
We want them to unionize, and we want them to be fair. You know, so it's not woke to be a strip club to exist.
Listen,
right?
I agree. Look, I go to Triple M Mansion. You know what I'm saying? I got no money.
Okay, all right. Yeah, great. So then I just assume, in my drunken haze, when they go to this bar, I was like, this is the obligatory strip club scene. and that's what was happening. Okay.
All right. Luis Guzman was great. We get that little cameo. That was fun. But it was a set. I didn't know if it was a setup. I didn't know. I couldn't quite tell what was happening. But when they get out of the car, Kevin Bacon's there to arrest them. And he put drugs in their car. And then we get the helicopter scene, which you guys liked.
I thought it was so fun. I thought it was fun because he never got good. He was never good at it. Like, no. He kept saying, like, I crashed one of these. I haven't done it since. And I'm like, oh, in these movies, he's going to figure it out. And he never does. Like, he's bad.
He was so stiff. He was so... The way he was holding the controls, he just looked... It was funny. The physicality of it was very funny.
Ooh, Bray, before we even get to this part, there was a part of the movie that made me laugh unintentionally, is that how they get to the helicopters, they break out of jail or whatever. But what's funny about it is how they get caught is that they're like... They come out of the bar or whatever, and the dirty cops put a bunch of cocaine in his car. And to me, how I grew up, it was like, hey, you got to be careful when cops search a trunk because they can throw a baggie of coke in there. And so the fact that they upped it and was like, it's like three bricks of cocaine in this man's trunk. And then he goes, uh-oh, you got cocaine. And it's like, dog, what? And then Joseph Gordon-Levitt goes, you set me up. I was like, this part is not supposed to be funny. It's supposed to be so serious. But they put three bricks of cocaine in this man's back. And his line is, you set me up. Book him, guys. He needed a big henchman. Like, he didn't have, I know that one guy was supposed to be it, but he needed like a, you know, he needed like a Kevin Nash, like Mohawked giant white man, or like, I don't know, something.
Yeah, like when hench people, especially in these movies, they all had a, you know, we're thinking about the tall blonde woman in the like suit with the wide, broad shoulders. It was like, yeah, they have a distinct look about them. And it's just like, those are the hench people, you know?
Yeah.
Those are the minions.
I think that's the one thing this movie missed. Like, I liked Kevin Bacon's like kind of swarminess of it all, but I think you needed like, someone, when it was time for Eddie to go against, you were like, how the fuck is he going to do this? You know, just it, yeah. I felt like you needed that, which I don't think we had in this movie. Because once they get to the house, they go through everybody pretty quick.
Yeah, everything from here on was just sort of like, and now this happens. Didn't it feel that way?
Yeah, we were finishing the movie. Like, they took the daughter.
Yeah, it was just like, and then we're here, and then we're here, and now we're here. And
whose
now
the house, guess what? Who was mansion. The mansion was that?
No one knows.
They were at that mansion earlier, and they said he's at the mansion, but they never said whose mansion it was.
It was no one's, because they were there to look to maybe buy it. Nassim Pedrad was funny. I thought she was funny.
Oh, that's right. And homeboy from all the other movies, too, was very funny.
Yeah.
What's his name? Abbott.
I don't know why that worked so well for me. But
it was really funny. He did
this. These two, the energy. These two. Like, have they had intercourse? I was like, oh my gosh, bro. Also, I'm not gonna lie to you. I agree with Bray. I really like Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And sometimes when I see these movies, even if I think of Bad Boys, to be honest, I think maybe my dream is always like to be able to play like a Will Smith or Eddie Murphy's kid in one of these movies. And the fact that like, oh, you had a chance to put like a new black guy that you kind of could spar with in this movie. You kind of didn't do it. You put Joseph Gordon-Levitt, which is fine. and then even when I look at Bad Boys.
But he didn't. And what did he do?
I know. I was like, because you know what it is? I feel like you always hear these stories about, not necessarily now, but like back in the day, it's like, hey, Eddie saw Chris Rock do one piece of stand-up. Was like, I'm going to put you in this movie. Chris Rock was like, I saw Martin put Martin in this one piece of thing. And it's like.
Yeah.
And also like small cameos like that. Like sometimes small cameos like that are huge. Like you
huge.
Just.
Huge.
for an actor, you know, it's like their person's really funny, and then they're and you're like, wait a minute, who's this person? I want to see them in more stuff.
And
like,
you just let
there's
them
that scene rip. Later in this movie, shortly after this, because they crash the helicopter and they need a car.
Don't talk about it, James.
Where they I auditioned for this part that Avion plays.
Oh, did you?
But, and he was very funny in it. But it was like,
But it was like,
oh man, but Avion's very established right now. Like, this really is the role for, like, this is the go ahead, take these bananas. You know, this is the Damon Wayans, like, this is the Chris Rock giving him the keys to the This is exactly Chris Rock giving him the keys to the getting the dump trucks keys or whatever. This is that exact scene, but now, you know, reverse. Like, it just, this could have been somebody like not fully established as a comedian. You know, that would have been cool to see.
Yeah. Or you could have squeezed them in more in the movie. Like, I think, like, you know, I think this stuff is hard for me, because I do think there was a time where you could, again, outside of the Judd Apatow era, where like you could have Jonah Hill in a scene buying heels with fish in it that does not have anything to do with the plot of the movie, just because it's a funny scene. Also have Kevin Hart being like, where my nigga at? I need a hookup, which has nothing to do with the movie, and just let these dudes rip. I'm like, I missed that, because like Bray is saying, those little cameos are so big, like oh, you want nigga here now? Those part, those, it's so funny. Both of y'all getting clapped. Like, it's, I missed that. I genuinely missed that.
Yeah.
And in this movie, I'm like, you know, Eddie had the chance to do it. Like, I mean, again, I know he put his daughter in it, but like that was a spot to me. I feel like there's a bunch.
There's a few though. Yeah. There's the meter. There's the meter lady. There's the dump truck. Yeah. The guy who's driving the dump truck. There's Afion.
Yeah, sure.
And then
the guy in the beginning.
Oh yeah, the guy at the beginning. The guy at the beginning. Yep.
Oh, yeah, the guy in the beginning. That was so funny.
Yeah.
So that was true. Like a few. There's a few. It just felt like maybe there could be more, I guess. Because I agree with you. I had the same feeling. Yeah. I felt, I was like, damn, they're not a lot of those little parts. But I guess maybe there just could have been more.
Yeah. And then this movie honestly just feels like it ends. Like, not in, I don't mean that in a bad way. It just feels like they get to the house and
it really does.
They burst through the door and they kind of take everyone out quickly. Like, Reinhold literally just starts sniping people. Eddie, like, they just do it so fast.
Yeah.
And even with Kevin, I was expecting like maybe him and Kevin could have a hand to hand like scene or something.
Yeah, this end action sequence was, you know, very milquetoast.
It wasn't
also,
it.
Eddie just got shot and fell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he just got shot and then was like, I was like, wait, what happened?
This ended sequence was almost as if it was a director who's never directed a movie before.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting that you say that, Bray. That's interesting.
It was like someone who like hasn't done action and never directed a movie before.
Hey, Bray. First off, Bray. So I just gotta say this. One, Bray, that's so petty what you just did. Two, I am here for it. Three, I do think you're right. Four, that is super petty. Five, I love how casually you said it.
There are too many numbers to this. You're essentially saying a complete thought and you've labeled them, you've numbered them all.
Yep, that's it. That's it.
I agree. Before this, though, can I just quickly say, and we can keep talking about this.
Please.
I did like a moment that felt genuinely Axel-like when they're driving the truck with all of the like stuff in the back, and they knock off the car door, and they're like, what are you doing? He's like, just trying to get us some backup. I was like, oh, if he would have brought the entire Beverly Hills Police Department trailed with him, that would have been incredible to see.
I thought that was going to happen.
Why did they not do that? That was weird to then have him crash.
Probably to your point, Bray, because how would a director who has not directed tons of big action scenes before be able to really track, you know, 25 police officers?
Yeah, he was scared.
25 minions. All over
it
the.
Would have been, I mean, fire, it, I, though.
It would have been so cool
with the music playing.
And come like, on, man. And like, shoot them, not us. Shoot them, not us.
Yes, because you know that's like, exactly like, the part that I'm like, I would have loved when I was rewatching it just now. I was like, oh, I forgot that he got all this backup, and then I couldn't wait to hear him try to figure out how to explain what was going on because they're clearly the bad guys, you know? Yeah. Oh man.
Ugh. Or if he would have like they would have started following him. Also, this is where the movie disbelief comes. I don't care if he would have knocked that door off, and then 2 seconds later, it's 20 cop cars behind him. I don't care how they got there. The visual is just so good. I'm here for it. Then to see him like drive them down, and then this is how you build the tension. You get to cut back to the house, see them arming themselves, and Eddie's coming with the cops. He busts through the door. All of a sudden, the fucking people in the house don't know that the cops ain't. For them, they just start shooting. Now
that's
the cops got to start
shooting. Like a comedic, a couple lines of like, who are we supposed to be shooting at? I don't know, man. Shoot everybody. Like just somebody has a line. Like somebody one off.
James, the line is like, who are we supposed to be shooting? Shoot the people shooting at you. Shoot. Shoot. Man, boy, why you bring up that director again, yo? Man, I'm going back to sleep. We done. We done. I'm going back to sleep.
We are done.
That's crazy. Then he gets shot. He wakes up. He go gets his breakfast. She's there. They get the breakfast. To me, the best part of this movie, not the best part, one of the highlights was seeing them all sitting in the car with Eddie in the back seat. And I was like,
I loved it.
I could watch that movie. Like, I don't know what that movie is yet, but I'm like, I could watch that. Cause I am fascinated how people like get stuff done. Like, I mean, again, Tom Cruise is like 70 jumping off planes. So like motherfuckers ain't old no more. Like, I don't know. Like
he ain't 70 yet. Damn. Tom Cruise like that. Come on now.
Hey, how old is Tom Cruise, man? My bad. I wasn't even trying to say it as a diss.
Wait. He's 62.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Early 60s. You know, he's still got some time.
My bad. How old is Denzel? Denzel 69 and look that good in that Gladiator trailer.
Yeah, Denzel's almost yeah.
Yo,
Denzel's.
Bro, how does he look like that in that trailer? Did they CGI him? Like, how does he look like that? Dog, that's crazy. I'm about to get a Caesar again, bro.
Oh yeah,
y'all about to see. Yeah. Y'all ain't gonna see me with these locks. Y'all gonna see me with a Caesar and a goatee. You get what I'm saying? They were like, "What happened?" I was like, "I was inspired. I was inspired by the goat, D. Denzel Washington." He did the laugh in the trailer.
What if they have Denzel in the movies? What if Denzel in Gladiator 2 says, Julius Caesar ain't got nothing on me?
Listen, you laugh. In that trailer, Denzel sounds like Denzel, a black man from New York. At one point, you see him do that, ha ha, and I'm like, nigga. He like, come on, man. I'm here for this. Also, again, the trailer is quick. And maybe I'm thinking too much into it. I'm like, Denzel might be the bad guy, yo. Like, low key.
But, like, yeah, definitely, right?
Right? Or I think he's like, again, from the trailer, I'm just like, he's like, yeah, we gotta start the revolution. I'm like, this nigga got a sword. I'm like, come on, man. My man got the hoop earrings.
Or is he, is Digimon Hunsu in Gladiator?
He was his, like, number two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think Denzel is going to be the slave trainer guy. Like, that's what I think he is.
I see.
That's my theory because he's dressed like the old one.
I didn't watch the trailer.
Oh, sorry. He looked cool, Bray. He just looked cool. Anyway.
He looks great.
All right. Yeah. Anything else? Anything else we got to say?
This movie did have a swirl that we never saw, thank God. So I'm happy we didn't see that.
Did they? How did they end that relationship? Did they? I don't know. Did they give them a button at the end?
Because
I thought
that kiss. That
was there's a they did kiss. Oh, they kissed. Okay, all right. I just didn't remember.
They kissed.
Oh, I did love him. All right, I mean, wearing the Detroit jacket over his hospital gown. That tickled me too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's, I mean, just apparently, just that he
apparently
wore
Eddie didn't want to wear the jacket. Apparently, he didn't want the jacket in the movie, and they were like, "Well, we gotta have a jacket.
You don't want to wear the jacket
because apparently he was like, he isn't just like he had a quote being like, it was he just wasn't the something about the jacket, and he was like, well, you gotta have a jacket.
Yeah, I think I remember him saying something like, Eddie, I'm whatever age he is, I can't be wearing the jacket. But I'm like, I think that the scene is him wearing like a cardigan or whatever. Also, okay, wait, I have to say, we talked about the laugh earlier. the laugh is so baked into this character that there are clearly moments in the movie that are like setting up the laugh. And it never comes. But one of them, it, to me, is also acknowledging this wearing the jacket thing. It's like you see him, you know, he's a little bit older. You know, he's not quite wearing the jacket and stuff anymore. He's getting ready to go to Beverly Hills. He puts on a cardigan. He looks at the cardigan, takes it off. He puts on the jacket. And then we get the laugh again. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's like stuff like that. You just
that's what you did before.
I would have loved it. I would have loved it. I'd have been here for it.
But apparently this guy was a fan. This director was a fan.
It's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of more leading Black actors in Hollywood. If we feel film fully helped the cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If it didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. On the count of three, we'll raise our ratings for Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F.
Does Beverly Hills Cop Axel F help the cause?
Yeah.
A straight to Netflix movie starring Eddie Murphy.
One of the biggest comedians of all time. All
right, here we go. 1, 2, 3. All right, 3 black fists. Right?
Yeah.
More than the original.
Yeah.
How about that?
I had to make up for what I gave the original.
Well, Taylor Page is in it, so that's why I gave it a black fist. I mean, she's on the rise, but this is another huge movie for her, and hopefully she'll get to continue to lead in films. She was excellent in Zola, and we'll see. But yeah, I had to give it to this movie for that alone.
Yeah, and if Hugh Jackman can play Wolverine for 39 years, then Eddie Murphy should be able to play Axel Foley 4 times. You know what I'm saying? That's why I
agree. I agree. I agree with both of you guys. I think it was great. I think, yeah, he can play this for as long as he wants. So, yeah, I'm here for it.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. We have a link to our Patreon subscription podcast where we do a new episode every other week, also on Red Circle, whichever way you want to sign up. It's $5 a month. It helps keeps this podcast free. And we've done great movies. The last one we did was A Quiet Place Day One, you know? So I mean, get on that. It's fun. If you got the funds, we appreciate it. And then if you're in LA, you like improv, I got a Harold team called This Is She at the UCB Upright Citizens Brigade Theater on Franklin Ave in Los Angeles, California. Check that out.
This is she.
This is she.
You
guys got anything?
You can follow me at Rule of Three Inc., ruleofthreeinc.com, and listen to Tiny Dinos wherever you get your podcasts.
Cool. You can follow me at Gerard Milligan on Twitter and Instagram.
All right. Thank you guys so much. We will see you in 2 weeks. Peace.